God, to asking you to join me on a prayer journey as a church. We, of course, I need to say something before my wife gets a chance to tell you about our trip this week. You get a whole different perspective when she tells you about it. So I don't know what the deal is. No. Depends on what you're looking for. We, of course, went to San Antonio to see our son and his family, and got there. The Lord worked it out just perfect, timing-wise. The baby came, actually still early, but we thought it might be earlier than it was, but we got there, and they're already in the hospital, so we got to spend some quality time with Micah and Allie and Brooke, waiting for Maddie to come. And it's a few days before we saw Aaron and Jackie and the baby. God timed it just perfect and worked out all the details. And of course, on our way down there, you know me, when we go somewhere, you know, I'm not one that can just drive through mountains and enjoy them. I gotta climb the mountains. I'm not one that can just drive or look at an ocean or a river. I gotta go in the water. And I got to have some experience, some adventures, I call them. So we planned some adventures on the way down. Well, I should say I planned some adventures. The first one we pulled into, my wife said, "You reserved this place?" And then the quote I heard a few times, "There's a reason why I let you go on your adventures by yourself." But I want to do some kayaking in the bayou, and I love the name of the town, Uncertain, Texas. The Uncertain Church. What a name for a church. I even got a t-shirt from there. And we're disappointed we didn't see any alligators while we're kayaking, but amongst the cypress trees and everything, and the moss and swamp, and it's even better after dark. That's when it's really cool to be out there after the dark. And you think, well, how do you know your way around? Actually, it'd be much easier to get lost in the daytime than it is in the dark, because there's lights back at the little town of Uncertain. All 12 of the lights are on. You could see them from miles away after dark, but we couldn't find any alligator. I think it was still a little bit too cold for them. And then on the way home, of course, we had some more adventures. That was the big one on the way down there. And again, it's a lot more fun if you listen to me tell a story. And then on the way home, we stopped, and I'll agree with my wife, it was a death hike in the desert in Texas. Now, I was there once before, and I said, man, you've got to see this place. I mean, it's desert, you got to walk through. Now, it was easier when I went, well, depending on how you call it easy, because I had my bicycle when I went before. And it's a few miles through the desert to get there, and I rode my bike part of the way, but then when I talk about a bike hike, I put the hike in the bike. Part of it you could ride your bike, but then part of it you got to put your bike on your shoulder and then walk a few more miles. But we thought we'll just walk this time. And you wouldn't believe it. It was a tropical rainforest in the middle of a desert. You would never believe such a thing. My wife still doesn't believe it. I got to dig out the pictures from when I was there before. Wouldn't you know it? The thing was dried up. The waterfall looked cool, where it usually is. And the trees weren't green. but it was great last time I went there, and she still doesn't believe that. But it was great. And then we went to, boy, this is something I would highly recommend. It's, if you ever get to Texas, this is, there's a couple places in Texas. When I was in college, I was a charter member. In fact, I was a president and founder of the Texas Haters Club. And there weren't many places I ever wanted to go in Texas, but now we've got kids in Texas and found a few places down there. But this is one place I've always wanted to go and never been there before, the Creation Evidence Museum. Far better than, I know some of you have been to the thing in Tennessee, the Ark and all that. This is, it's a smaller thing. It's more of an educational thing than it is an amusement thing. But there are some, they've got three things especially in there that are scientific evidence to discredit everything evolution teaches. And one of them, Brother Hiltabiddle, when he was here, had a replica of it. We saw the original, the hammer that was found that predated Noah's flood, and some unique things. That was one of the most fascinating things he had at this table. And then the dinosaur tracks in the human footprints preserved in the same fossil. Literally they've tested, but anyways, that was just a fascinating place. And then another place I'm going to tell you about in a little bit. But I could go on about some things that, and probably bore some of you to tears, but to me that's fun. And again, you would probably agree with my wife, there's a reason that you go on these things by yourself usually. But I want to say this, that God used this week in an unusual way, aside from visiting kids. And I want you to, well, before we turn there, let me just say this, that more than life itself, I desire a real relationship with God, just a closer walk with Thee. We sing those songs all the time and never really think about what they mean. There's three books that I've come across in the last month or so. One of them I've known them for years. Actually, two of them I've known them for years. That after 2 years of praying and a few folks, I've asked you to pray for me because I need something. I don't know what it is. After 2 years of giving that prayer request to a few of you, God brought me three books that have been, to me, the most helpful thing outside the Bible I've ever read. I've mentioned them a few times before. One of them is The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. And I'll say that I started to read that in Bible college, but I didn't have the hunger. So it didn't mean much. And I didn't even get through it. The Purpose of Prayer. I think I've probably read that before too, by E.M. Bounds. Life-changing book. And then another one that I've never been so convicted of reading a book, and the E.M. Bounds one we didn't get to, but the other two we listened to, one on the way down, the one on the way back, is Ordering Your Private World. Ordering Your Private World by Gordon MacDonald. If you're not hungering and thirsting after God, these books, and I can say with experience, they're not going to mean much to you. But if you can truly read them with a contrite heart, you'll begin to experience what I just call a real relationship with God. And I want you to turn, and I've been asking you to join me on a journey, a prayer journey. And I don't know how many of you keep that paper in your Bible to help you pray. I'm going to make reference to that in a little bit and just show you how I use this. But I want you to turn, first of all, to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew 26. And I just want to show you something that if you are in the habit of a lot of religious folks, they read the crucifixion and resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection story of Jesus this time of year. I just prefer to read the Bible from cover to cover a couple of times a year lately. Matthew chapter number 26, beginning in verse number 36, I want you to follow along in your Bible. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep." There's evidence they were good Baptists. "And saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then came he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. My Father, I pray that you would teach us to pray. Help us to realize that the only hope we have in our lives for this nation, for this world, is learning to pray. And God, I pray that we would learn to pray with Jesus, Thy will be done. Father, that would be our heart cry, that we would have that agony of soul that He felt, that we would get a glimpse of that. And God, I pray that you would work now in these few moments we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. We talk about our prayer journey, and I've been asking you to use the Lord's lesson on prayer. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. I just call it God's Jesus' lesson on prayer. As I gave you a little outline of how to use that in your prayer life. And using the phrases in that prayer that we're familiar with in Matthew 6, the most familiar version of it, also in Luke 11, we enter into His presence by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven. And we praise Him with a phrase that Jesus used, Hallowed be Thy name. This is an outline that He gave. And Thy kingdom come. We pray for His kingdom, His work. And then His will. This is where I get stuck. In my life, I don't know if I've got through this whole thing at one time. I usually run out of time after an hour, a couple hours sometimes, and only get a couple of the things on here. And one of them I was stuck on a lot this week, and I just want to focus on for a little bit. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And use that for a time of meditation. The psalmist said, Be still and know that I am God. Turn your gadgets off. Turn the noise pollution off and the entertainment and everything. Just listen to God. Listen to Him. Listen to His voice in the stillness. The song says, and hear His voice. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I'm not going to have time for testimonies, but where did you travel this week in your prayer journey? Where did God take you? In fact, I've kind of discovered this, that God will give me one of those areas that'll just be my focus in prayer all week. I'm hoping that you're experiencing some things about prayer and taking this prayer journey with me. Let me ask you a question. For you Bible scholars, right? This ought to be worth a Rolo. Can somebody tell me what is the 10th commandment? What is the 10th? Liz, I think it was the first hand I saw come up. Thou shalt not, that's worth a Rolo, isn't it? I think that's worth two, one for you and one for me. I'll share one with you, all right? Thou shalt not covet. I'm going to talk to you on this subject. Thy will be done. And God just showed me a couple of things about myself and the things that I've read this week in the Bible and the books that I mentioned and some experiences and a journey that I'm going to share a little bit with you in a moment. First thing He shared with me and told me that I changed the outline to just, I'm just looking at me. That's how God gave it to me, so that's how I'm going to give. I am a covetous person. I am a covetous person. And I think if we were honest, all of us would say that. Truth is, we fail to understand how wicked and destructive this sin is, the sin of covetousness. It is probably the most obvious, glaring, and there's a lot of sin in our world when we look around our world that we participate in, whether we realize it or not, that are part of our way of thinking, but this is the very heart of what's been called the prosperity gospel, or the pragmatic gospel, if you know what that is. The reasons for the aisles filled with the self-help books and the so-called Christian bookstores of how to be a better this and that and how to get more and the prayer of Jabez and all those things, how you can become rich and famous, how you can be successful and all this. That's covetousness is what that is. And our entertainment and pleasure-seeking culture thrives on covetousness. And how easy it is to let Satan tempt us in this area. It's called social media. You know, everybody's got a perfect life on social media. I tell you, I just about decided I'm done completely with this stuff, but then we do use Facebook to broadcast our messages, so I guess I can't cut it out completely. Even this, and you think, well, that's not a problem. You know, we went to a great to my son's church and a great church service, and man, I love the people. I got to meet the pastor. They've got a new pastor since we've been there last, and he's a good man. I've listened to him online a number of times. And by the way, I pray for my children's pastor because they ought to be the most influential person in their life, in their church, and I'm grateful for their church. But the whole time I'm there, I'm thinking, wow, what a great place this is. I wish we could have this in our church. I wish we could have this ministry. Well, it'd be great if we could do this in our church. And it dawned on me, that's my covetousness. That's my covetousness. You see how innocent it can be? And how easy it is to fall into that situation? It's easy to let Satan tempt us in this area. Or comparing ourselves with ourselves. Well, I wish I could have that person's gifts. I wish I could have their personality, this and that. And well, that's so much ingrained in our life. Or grumbling about our circumstances. Well, I would do more for the Lord if it wasn't for this. Or if this person wasn't there dragging me down all the time, I could do that. That's covetousness. And then we get to, before long, we start rethinking major decisions in my life. Well, maybe I shouldn't have gone this direction. Maybe I should have done, Paul said in Philippians 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Even in the state of Illinois, believe it or not, you can be content. Huh? I joke about that because people, oh, I'm going to move out of Illinois as soon as I can. Well, God bless you. You're going to find the same thing anywhere you go. That's like saying I'm going to jump out of my marriage because I can find a better one over there. Or I'm going to, whatever. It's covetousness. Learn to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain, Paul says. And instead of being covetous, we need to learn to pray with Jesus, thy will be done. It's not my will, it's his will. And along that same line of covetousness, and I'll just give you this also. Not only did I realize in praying, thy will be done, that I am a covetous person, but also I'm a stubborn person. Of course, you're not, are you? I'm a stubborn person. I want to think that I'm in charge. I want to think I'm in control of situations. In reality, I can't even breathe without God's help. There's nothing I can do without him, but I think I can handle it, and that's our lack of prayerlessness, our stubbornness, our inflexibility. We have our routines, we have our schedules, we have our plans, and we need to learn to die to ourselves and to surrender all to Christ. Not my will, but it's thine. Be done. And of course, Jesus came to this earth to die for our sins, but he still gave us that picture that he came to do his Father's will, not his own will. And he gave us that role model. I had a plan and things that I lined up, and actually, the trip that we took, I'd lined it up last year that Nathan and Tina came home. Was that last year? A little over a year ago. We planned and I had everything lined up and planned out, and then Nathan and Tina said, we're going to come home. They were just going to show up and surprise us. I'm so glad you did, because we would have been gone. We make plans and things, and then we get so set in our ways, and then we get upset if things don't work. That's our stubbornness. Instead, we should be praying, God, your will be done. We planned on doing some camping. We had all our camping gear with us and never got to use it. Because my wife got sick. That's why we called it the Death March, and I won't give you any more details than that, all right? So we ended up staying something I don't, to be quite honest with you, I'd rather sleep under a tree somewhere than stay in a motel room. I'd rather sleep in my van than sleep. Motel rooms kind of creep me out. The older I get, the more I become germophobic, and who was sleeping in this bed last? Worse yet, what did they do in this bed? I don't even want to know, but I don't want to be in those places. They just creep me out. But we ended up having to stay in a motel room a few different nights. And, of course, I'm Baptist, so I can get them half price. I figured out how to do that. Well, not quite half price. That's my goal, getting half price. Usually a little more than half the price. You just figure out how to do that. But that's a Baptist distinctive. And you learn how to do everything cheap. In the motel rooms, you go down and I'm going to go down and read my Bible. They got breakfast. Well, some of them do, if you want to call it breakfast. But down in the lobby, you know the worst thing about motel lobbies? They always got a stupid television going. And I shut the thing off, and I'm the only one down there, and still somebody will come and turn it on. Shut the stupid thing off! Unplug it if I can. But, of course, what's on there? The terrorists. The news. And entertainment. And it just really, it cracks me up. What they call the news, it's drama. And the only thing worse than the news is the Weather Channel. We're going to die today because it's windy out. There's going to be a tornado in Texas. Everybody in the state of Texas is going to be dead by tomorrow morning. I mean, that's the way they draw it up and whatever. I just block it all out and get into the Word of God. And by the way, you can't block it all out. It's just kind of every once in a while you kind of get up and you hear it, and it just really makes me laugh. But it makes me sad that Christians are listening to that junk. And it's no wonder we're so fearful and anxious and worried about everything. I'm so glad God gave us be careful for nothing. Be worried about nothing. Best way to do that is just shut it off and get into the book. But we get set in our ways. I didn't mean to get sidetracked on that. And this is where I want to, I'm almost out of time, but this is what I really want to focus on. I'm not only a covetous person. I'm a stubborn person, but God showed me I'm also a faithless person. I'm a faithless person. Jesus often rebuked his disciples and me, "Oh, ye of little faith." Just reading recently how Jesus fed the 5,000 plus the women and children, and then he fed a crowd of 5,000, and then the next scene, he's teaching the disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they're talking amongst themselves saying, I think he's saying this because we forgot lunch again. When will we ever learn? And Jesus said, you bunch of idiots. That's the Pastor Fritz version. What in the world is wrong with you? You're worried about your sack lunch that you forgot, and you just saw me feed 5,000 or probably more like 20,000 and then 4,000. And you had all those leftovers, they got bad before you could eat them. You had so many leftovers, and now you're worried, and you have little faith. And it's amazing to me. We can trust God, whom we've never seen, to get us to heaven where we've never been. And we're going to be there for all eternity. Bless God, we can trust Him for that. But we can't trust Him to meet our needs today. We can't trust Him to believe that He's going to take care of us today or tomorrow. What an amazing lack of faith we have. One of the places we went, one of my favorite places in the whole state of Utah, or Oklahoma, I'm sorry. The only favorite place I have in Oklahoma is the Wichita Mountains Wildlife Refuge. I've gone there a number of times and taken pictures, and I thought this is the brochure that I keep these things because I like to dream about them sometimes. And you've seen some pictures on the screen, not that one, from there. And I was kind of looking through this, and there's one part of the park that's my favorite place to hike. And it's called Sharon's Garden Wilderness. It's one whole section of the park. And it just kind of cracked me up because, wouldn't you know, this is my favorite part. And you know why when you read this section. The Sharon's Garden Wilderness area is managed as a primitive unit. Be prepared. Trails are not signed or maintained. Game trails crisscross the area, and you will encounter extremely rugged terrain. Medevac flights occur in Sharon's Gardens every year. That tells me there, that's the best part of the park to go. In fact, we went hiking there one day, and I thought, I want to bring my backpack and hammock. I want to go spend the night here. Next time I come down here, this place is just great. Because my wife wasn't feeling good the first evening we were there, we drove around, and then the next day she was feeling better, so we went hiking and made her sick for the rest of the trip. But anyways, we did some wandering in the wilderness. And as we were wandering in, the trails are not, and if you saw, we don't know what mountains are here. And there's no place in the state of Illinois I could ever possibly get lost. In fact, I couldn't possibly get lost there. My wife says, we're lost, aren't we? No, we're not lost. I'll tell you when we're lost, when we go a couple of nights without any water, then I might consider being lost. I don't get lost. I was quoting my favorite quote from Daniel Boone, my hero. I can't say as I've ever been lost, but I was bewildered once for 3 days. I get bewildered sometimes, but I don't get lost. There's some things that around here I've learned, and I like to spend a lot of time outdoors doing anything I can, any chance I get. If you know where your destination is and you know where your location is, you aren't lost. Now, there might be a lot of things between here and there, but you're not lost if you know where you are. By the way, do you know where you are? I always know where I am. I'm not lost. I'm right here. I don't know what you're talking about. And when we're not sure what's in between, I do know that when we started the hike, we were headed south. And if we go north, we're going to run into the road. So all we got to do is, if you get lost, now granted, you get out there and cell phones don't work, GPS doesn't work, but I got a compass with me. In fact, it was no big deal when we left in the morning. The sun was over here on my left. I know I'm headed south because the sun's over here. But by the time we came home, it was about noon. Kind of hard to use the sun for direction then. But I know we got to head north to get back, and of course we're wandering all over the place. And okay, it's time to go back. Well, I don't know. We just got to go that way. But there's a mountain there, around here. And we know that. I know that when we started, the place we want to go, where the van is, it was the lowest spot. The valleys all ran there, and there was water there. So all you got to do, and this is a very simple thing to do around here. Let me give you some advice. You ever think you're lost? Just follow it. Stream or river, and follow it downstream. That's all you got to do. And eventually you come to an obvious place where you know you are, and I knew that we parked in the place that was the lowest spot, the lowest valley in that area, so all we got to do is follow a stream, and every mountain has a valley, and there's a stream. But, no, I don't, used to Illinois, you're not used to mountains. You ever been in the mountains much? And I've done this driving in Colorado, or driving through the mountains, driving up the side of a mountain. You look at the river and notice which direction that water's flowing. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but sometimes it looks like that water's flowing upstream. How's that happen? Now, you don't notice that around here, but when you're in the mountains, you kind of lose your equilibrium and you're not sure which way's up and which way's down until you look at the way the water's flowing. You literally cannot tell sometimes. Makes it a little bit more complicated when the stream is a dry riverbed. There's no water in it. And you look at that and you can't figure out, okay, is it flowing that way or that way? All I can do is get in the way, and there's no water in it. And if you study it, you can kind of tell which way the water's flowing. Well, that presents a little bit of problem. And the water usually runs downhill. Most places it runs downhill, but it seems to be running uphill here. So we just start following the water down. Now, eventually, you know that, well, north is over that way, but there's this mountain. Or there's this brush that we can't possibly get through. How are we going to get from here to there? Well, just follow that stream. It might take you a detour. It might take you a little bit longer. You'll eventually find your way back. And what I'm saying is, oh, if we just had faith. We know where we're going. We know where we are. But it's just getting from here to there that presents a difficulty and shows our lack of faith. And in the Christian realm, not my will, but thine be done. There's three things that I've learned in my life that are far more important than how to get from a place where you might think that you're lost. The first thing is, learn to pray. It's really that simple. Learn to pray. You can either pray or you can panic. That's in life. And when you learn to pray, there's no room for panic. When you learn just some simple techniques, you realize there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be anxious. I know I've got to get over there, but there's this mountain, and I go peek over the top of that mountain, and there's another one, and I still can't see. Just follow that riverbed. That's the quickest route. It doesn't seem like the quickest route because you're going the opposite direction. You know you're here and you got to get there, but you might be going that way for a while. It's not my will, but His will. God will take you in places that you didn't plan on. And all I got to do is go, and really, if you could see the map, and later on I could see on the GPS how far, we weren't real far, but there's just some brush that we couldn't get through. And this little thing called the mountain between us that we had to get around. But all we had to do on the map is just go from this little spot right over there. It's such a short little distance. We could just do that. No. Just learn to pray. Follow God's plan. Follow God's will. And then stay in your Bible. This book has the answers to everything. There's no question. In fact, I don't even know what the questions are until I get into this book. And I've never found a question that God doesn't have the answer for. Learn to pray. Stay in your Bible. God has the answer. Are we lost? No, we're trusting Him. And by the way, I've learned this too. God's sometimes able to move the mountains. That makes it easy. But most of the time, He just takes us around that mountain. Takes us for a little detour. Enjoy the scenery. Enjoy. But we're too stubborn. We're too self. Why can't we have it easy like everybody else? You find out nobody else has it easy either. Everybody's got the same struggles. We all struggle with the same flesh. And then stay in church. Stay in church. You know, if you're with someone, say, well, I'm not sure if we should go this way or that way. Why don't you try that way and I'll go this way? The absolute worst thing you could ever do. Stay in church. There's a comfort of fellowship with one another. Thy will be done. If we're going to find God's will for our life, if we're going to get from point A to point B successfully and to enjoy the journey, we need to learn to pray, stay in our Bible, and stay in church. It's really that simple. It's been a long time since I've given you those three things, but there's nothing more basic, nothing more important for the Christian than to just learn to pray, stay in your Bible, and stay in church. The first thing that we're going to want to do, instead of praying, we're going to panic. And we're going to get lost, I can guarantee it. And instead of finding the answers in the roadmap, in the Word of God, we say, well, Dr. So-and-so says we ought to do this. Reverend So-and-so says we ought to do this. And I just think this is the way we ought to go. You ever trust your instincts when you're lost in the woods? You're going to find yourself walking in circles. About the sixth time you pass the same spot, you're going to say, I think we went by here before. But it looks different because we're coming a different direction now. How'd that happen? That's your instincts. Your instincts don't have any answers, but this book has the answers. Stay in church. We're all in, you know, I hate to use this because the world's so overuse it. We're all in this together. Yeah, right. But as Christians, we ought to be in it together. But I realize we need each other. We need to provoke one another to love and the good works. I guarantee you, once we get out of church, we're out of God's will. Once we get out of the book, we're out of God's will. Once we get off our knees, we're out of God's will. We need to stay in our faces before God, on our knees before God, and in the Word of God, and to stay in church. We're faithless. I'm a faithless person. I'm a stubborn person. Well, I just think this is my gut feeling. This is the way we ought to do it. So-and-so did this, and they seem to come out okay. Oh, wait a minute. I'm a stubborn person by nature, and I'm a covetous person. Well, they seem to, and we desire the things that aren't ours and think that we can figure it out. And all to just have faith in God and to just develop that relationship. That's the journey that God took me on this week in learning to pray, in my prayer journey. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The sad thing is, most of the time, we think we know what the will of God is. We think we know what God's plan is. Oh, I don't know how to pray. God, show me what your will is. I want to just be quiet and listen to you. I want to hear the voice of God ask Him to guide me. I'm going to ask you to see.